Welcome. I'm so glad that you guys joined us today. We have a special guest. Kirk Hudson is with us today. Welcome, Kirk.
It's nice to be here. Thank you, Millie.
Kirk is the executive pastor of operations at Grace Community Church. And today our topic is going to be the church and mental health, where that intersection is. And we're going to talk about the church at large, and we're also going to talk about our community church here in Tyler. So I'm so glad you're with us today, Kirk.
I am glad to be here. This is going to be fun.
Good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, related to the topic, I would say in my career and professional life, I would have not ever thought I would be sitting here on a podcast talking about this topic. So, and you'll know in a second why I say that, but I spent 26 years in corporate America, mostly in the sales world of financial services, and managing different type of sales environments, different services, products, that sort of thing. And then the latter half of my career ended up in management in two or three different companies, and had not even thought about the idea of working at our church. But as the Lord had it, His providence brought me to Grace about almost 4.5 years ago into this role of executive pastor of operations. And the irony of my job is I get to deal with budgets in our organization, and I spent 26 years not really enjoying budgets of any kind. So the irony that the Lord has brought to my life in this role has been really fun, really shows His grace in my personal life and our family life. And the things that I get to deal with on a day-to-day are always changing. They can go from our facilities and maintenance or buildings or things of parts of our organization like our early education center and our school. And, as you know, Millie, at one time we had a counseling center that was in the bottom floor of the building that we're in right now. So my daily duties are vast. They're wide. They're variety-based. And I'm thankful that the Lord has put me in this role.
That's great. And one of the roles where we interact a lot is that you do oversee the counseling mm-hmm. center. You oversaw that for a long time, mm-hmm. and as Solace has joined mm-hmm. Grace Community Church and the partnership, you and I communicate mm-hmm. On a regular basis just about the counseling needs
yes.
that you guys have,
yes.
the needs of the staff and the pastors at Grace.
Yes, it's very important as one of our values of community that we have this connection, partnership with Solace, but not only Solace, but the community of where the need might arise for mental health or mental illness. And we have an organization that has 450 employees in Tyler, Texas, which is no small organization. And then we have an extension into the community that we're able to be involved in the lives of a number of people where they, as we like to say, where they live, work, and play. And so discipleship can take on different forms. And in this particular topic of mental health, we might be the first person that somebody talks to about the idea of needing some sort of connection or help in the area of mental health.
Yeah, that's right. So one statistic I read said that 25% of the people that go on to get treatment for mental health issues, mental illness issues, go to a pastor or clergy first.
Yes.
And so that means 1 out of 4 people are going to land in your office before they land in my office. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's such, number one, it's a privilege that pastors mm-hmm. have to be the front line mm-hmm. to some of these issues, and it's also a responsibility.
Yes, and I think we should really honor that, and as you said, treat it as a privilege, because when somebody is hurting or an event has happened in their life, their pastor or their involvement in their faith-based organization like our church or any other church can receive that person with love and care, because that's what we would want if we were in those situations. So I think that is essential for us as an organization like Grace, whether it's in our school or in our church, that we can be available for instances where people need a place to talk and to share their life with.
That's great. So let's start out, and I'm just going to give a general definition of what mental health is. Mm-hmm. It's cognitive, it's behavioral, it's emotional. It's the state of well-being where we can cope with normal stresses of life. Mm-hmm. So this idea of well-being, we talk a lot about that in the different podcasts. It affects how we think, how we feel, how we act. It's how we navigate life. Mm-hmm. And so if we have, you know, healthy mental health, good mental health, then we're going to be able to handle stress. We're going to be able to relate to others in healthy ways. We're going to be able to make good choices. But when we have mental illness, something's disordered in our life, that's really a disruption. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I am really passionate about, is when there's this disruption in our mental health, when there's thoughts, moods, behaviors that are disrupted, how does the church respond to that? How can we be a community of believers that come along somebody in a healthy way when their life is very disrupted?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and I think one that we should not ever take lightly, because all of what you describe could happen in a variety of ways, and I think our eyes are being opened. I know that you experience this all the time. Our eyes are being opened to the variety and the depth and even the age at which those things can occur in today's culture. What you and I probably grew up with is so much more different than what our kids or even their kids might. Like my daughter is newly married and they could be starting a family, and how they parent their kids will be completely different than how we parented. So I think that's something that we really need to take time to think about and plan for. Because I was reading, this came to me just this last weekend, so I think this is worthy to share. I was reading a book about this area of mental illness with a very specific social culture issue with teenagers. And the book described an event where a teenager came to their pastor and said, "I'm dealing with this issue. It's hard. I don't understand it." And that pastor was not welcoming. In fact, basically issued that teenager, to the back door instead of cultivating that relationship. And then the issue was explained around this social norm that's changed around sex and identity. And in the very next essence of the book, this person had gone through their 20s and early 30s and had a traumatic event of their marriage falling apart, of their same-sex partner. And where else did they go? Even after there was so much time in their life, they went back to a church. And this next pastor said, "It would be an honor for us to help you in your situation." We want to be that kind of church. We want to be that type of church body or community that welcomes, even though we might not understand what the issue is, but welcoming and love that person just as we would want to be loved. Because the idea that Jesus made it a point to say the two greatest commandments are to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then to love your neighbor as yourself, I think that's the essence of what we should do as a church community, no matter what the issue is. The hard part is always knowing how to understand it, and we won't always do that. But if we think we can love first and care about the person, because it's a person first, and I think that we would be much better off if we had that approach to any issue that we would encounter.
Yeah, that's great. I love that one thing our church does well is we preach from the front that it's okay to not be okay.
Right.
That is a powerful message that, as people of faith, mm-hmm. we need that message. Mm-hmm. It's the message of the gospel, and it's the message that we continue to, in love, like you're saying, give to people and say, you can come here and you don't have to have it all together. Mm-hmm. You can be suffering. You can have, a mental illness. You can be depressed. You can have bipolar disorder. You can come here, and we may not know how to help you, but we have the will to help you.
Yeah. And I think the Lord provides the way.
That's right.
If the vision or the mindset is there, He'll provide the way. And as you said, we are a church organization that welcomes and will point to the right resource in any of life's circumstances that we can have a resource to bring to, like Solace or another faith-based therapy organization, that we would be available to do that. So it's important to us to extend that love and grace, because we've been loved by God to do exactly that.
That's right. I was talking to the youth ministry staff last week, and we were talking about, they were asking what they can do to help with mental health issues. And my answer is always be available. You know, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a lot of letters behind your name to care about someone. Mm-hmm. And so be available. The number one thing I hear in my office day after day is, I'm lonely. People are very lonely. They lack community. They lack having those significant people in their life that love them and care for them. Mm-hmm. And so as I was talking to the youth ministry staff, we were talking specifically about kids, teenagers, you know, just be with them. Just look them in the eye and say, how's it going? That is very healing to people, no matter what they're struggling with. When you know somebody cares about you, and particularly from the church, the faith community, when they reach out and care.
Yeah, over the last couple of years, I've had two teenagers in my life that only made possible by the Lord's doing. And I think what has grown me spiritually is to do exactly what you just said for those two teenagers, because they're not our children. They're from other families, from other areas of life, and to be able to connect with them on a deep and meaningful level was to be just that, to be available, to tell them stories of my own trials and afflictions,
right,
to hear of their own, and to build that trust and availability to ask the question, is there anything else that you'd like to tell me? And for them to answer it.
Yeah.
A great joy. There's heartache in it, because you might hear something that you didn't expect. But for those teenagers at the age of 15, 16, 17 to develop that relationship with somebody that's not in their family is so healthy. So that healing, if there is something that comes up that is related to a mental illness, that healing can begin because it was revealed. And I think one of my favorite things that my friend Zach has told me is that when God reveals something, He's going to heal it too. Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful thing that I know that is important for teenagers, is to know they're not alone because of what they experience. I think being a parent myself with my wife and our four kids, when the conversation would lend itself to a deeper level, then there was greater intimacy with our kids and there was greater trust. I know that they didn't tell us everything, and that's okay. But I think when any teenager has that opportunity to express that loneliness and maybe even a part of heartache in life or some event they were not prepared to be exposed to, that's one greater step that they can see that they're not alone and that they can get help and healing.
That's great. I know that mental health is a priority here in our church. What are some ways that you guys make it a priority? How, as a staff, do you talk about mental illness issues and coming alongside families?
Yeah. One thing that I'm very thankful for, as our senior pastor, Doug, has made a priority, is number one, for our own staff. As a church staff, it might not be normal for us to show our own frailties and afflictions and trials. So I think we're committed to staff care, and I think we have a staff member, Heather, that is passionate about that. God's given her a gift to do that. I think that's number one. So that when you commit to yourself and your own staff, then that makes you even more open and aware to what you're doing with the congregation or visitors or guests that might come into our presence. So I think that's number one. I think at every level of our ministry, Grace Kids, GSM, and in our adult ministries, that we might seek out additional training and education to be aware of things that might be in our midst of people that need help or healing. Actually, we're having a conversation this morning about the mental health first aid training that would be available to our staff. And so we're looking into That's things great. Like that that could extend into the congregational needs or our community needs that we might not ordinarily be prepared for. But that's a commitment we're doing as a staff for ourselves, as well as for the community that we might encounter. A couple of things we do for our school and our early education center, we try to offer parenting classes, or with regards to students, to make availability to therapists for them to talk. I mean, we are committed to doing this as an organization. Mm-hmm. And we also are intentional about our budget dollars. We are able to have income because of people that donate money or they pay tuition, and it's important for us to allocate some of those dollars to this area of mental health.
That's great. For where your treasure lies, there your heart is also.
We want to be committed to it, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I think putting money behind it mm-hmm. is a huge commitment. And so I thank you for that. That's yeah. meaningful. Rick Warren said, your greatest ministry will come out of your greatest pain. Mm-hmm. So I love you talking about, you know, just helping staff with their own mm-hmm. struggles and knowing that it is okay to not be okay, even if you're on staff.
Yes, yes.
I think there's a lot of wisdom in that.
Yeah. Well, we have single people and we have married people, just like everywhere else yep. on this planet. And there are issues that that we encounter. I think the other thing that I would highlight is that our commitment to marriage and blended families, and also for grief counseling, grief share. We have classes that are involved or available for people that need additional help or encouragement in those areas. So we try not to call them just programs for the sake of programs. We're intentional and have the right staff that they're trained and they're available in all areas of life that we can be a help.
That's great. We also have things like Square One mm-hmm. and MOPS for mm-hmm. young mothers
yes.
that may be struggling. I know at Square One, every semester I do a talk on postpartum. And so it's just another way to introduce this idea of mental health mm-hmm. into each one of these areas where the church is already doing really great ministry.
Yes. The book I was referencing just a moment ago was dealing with the issue of transgender identity, and the author, which I shouldn't say the name, but I could, I guess, said if you've met one trans person, you've only met one trans person. So
right.
whatever that issue is, if it's transgender identity, or if it's marriage or singleness or it's divorce, you've met that one person, because
right.
everybody's situation is unique and different, and we can be available to receive that person and then help them get the care and the healing that they need. So I think that's where we have to be prepared, is the diversity of God's kingdom, as well as the diversity of where we might have affliction or trials or just everyday life that occurs, whether it's trauma-based or it's mm-hmm. illness from a physical occurrence. I mean, there's a need out there that crosses the gamut that we can be available to.
Right. About 20 to 25% of families have someone in their family mm-hmm. that's struggling with mental illness.
Yeah.
And for so long, I think it has been something that you keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk about your family member that's chronically depressed. You don't talk about your family member that has bipolar. You just stay quiet, you stay silent. There was a book written not too long ago, and the author had a mentally ill mother. She grew up with a mentally ill mother, and she said it was the non-casserole illness, meaning that was the thing that you don't get casseroles brought to your door
uh-huh.
for. You can have any other illness, but, you know, depression, I think her mom was bipolar, maybe schizophrenic, you're definitely not getting a casserole for that. And what we are trying to do is treat it like any other suffering. And we want it to be a light shined on it so that there's no shame in this. There's no hiding in this. And I think some of the things you're saying, that just made me think that we bring this out and we can talk about it, and, yeah, and it's okay.
I think the challenging part of just being human is that we can see a broken leg. We can know that they were in a car accident. We can know that somebody had some sort of surgery on the outside, but we can't see it on the inside. And so it's very hard to relate to it. I know that in my own life, if I can't see it, then am I really able to understand it? And I think that's where we have to be open enough to feel what that other person is feeling inside their body or in their mind, especially when there's a trauma that may have occurred years ago in a person's life. And they may have even forgotten it in some way. They put it, buried it in the recess of their mind. I know for me personally, something that happened at a younger age that I was never going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And only in growth and intimacy with my wife that I was able to share her, the most confident person that would receive me. I'm the most confident person that I would have to receive me. I could share it with her, but it was hard. And she would have never known because I was going to keep it internal. So I think relating of what you can't see is something that takes effort. It takes care and intentionality of what you can't see as much as something that you can see. And so that's what makes it hard to do, but necessary.
That's great. I think we are all growing in this area. Mm-hmm. And over the last year, there have been significant challenges to our own mental health, the mental health of everyone who's been through this pandemic and a lot of upheaval in our society. And so I think we're seeing more and more that the faith community is needed. And I love that. I love that people look to the faith community and they want answers. And so my hope is, you know, like you're saying, we don't give, you know, a lot of answers without understanding first, but we do have the answer in Jesus Christ, and we can share that as part of that healing process.
Right. I can't think of a better example than our Savior, because who's attracted to him? It wasn't the people that knew or thought they had everything going on. It was the prostitutes. It was the tax collectors that weren't well thought of. It was these people that we get to live with every day in all walks of life that were attracted to Jesus. And I think as soon as I start to think I have it all figured out, there's no way that I do. So I think that's what we need to be as Grace Community Church or any faith organization, is to be that extension of how Jesus approached who he encountered, not any other way.
Right. That's so good. A good resource for the topic that we're discussing today is Kay Warren. I have heard her speak personally, and she has a real passion for just integrating, or maybe that intersection of mental health and the church, and how the church comes alongside those who are struggling with mental illness. And on her site, she has, I'm not sure what it's called, it's like a circle of care, something like that. And there are these messages that she put on there. You are loved, you have a purpose, you are needed, you have a choice, and you belong. Mm-hmm. And that's the heart behind, I think, our church, faith community, in coming alongside someone and really speaking that message over someone.
I like that for two reasons that come to mind, is that if we are asking ourselves, or if someone asks themselves, well, why am I here? What's my purpose? And we were created for the purpose of glorifying God and enjoying him forever. Within that, I think being known and loved is a key element to even understanding, well, why would God create me? Even if I have this or that issue that I'm dealing with, if somebody else knows me and loves me, then I can make that one step to know that God purposed me, and that I can enjoy him and glorify him. But that takes love and care and time and the work of the Holy Spirit to move somebody into that, because it's by grace and faith in him that enables that. But I think the relationship that we have at Grace in our organization or in the community can be that person to know them and love them.
Yeah, I think that's great. And we continue to strive to do that in different ways and better ways. And I appreciate you being here today and just sharing mm-hmm. where faith does intersect with our local church.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
And my hope is that if there is somebody that listens to this podcast or is connected to Solace or Grace, that they can make that step to say, how can I talk or how can I relate to what is going on with my life and feel loved in doing so. And that's my hope. So thank you for letting me be a part of this.
Yeah, thank you so much. So just some resources. I mentioned Kay Warren. She has written a lot on this topic. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is also a resource, and the Grace Alliance. Their websites have a lot of information about mental illness and ways that the church can come alongside those who are really struggling, or families who have a member that's really struggling. So I hope you enjoyed today. I really enjoyed you being here with us, Kirk. And as always, if we can help you at Solace Counseling and Anxiety Center, then please let us know. We'd love to sit down and talk with you. And we also want to thank Grace Community Church for partnering with us and making this podcast possible.
Thank you, Millie.
Thanks.